What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
Had a little crush on the lady bagger and tried to get her to come out to my car with the bags and push her into the trunk.
Tried to silence her the lambs or you wanted to bring her out. Hey, can you carry my bags?
Hey, come on. Bring out this stuff.
Shove her in there. Hey, no, get in.
You get in and then put the bags in and then I'll come in
a
second.
Sling. My arm is hurt. Will you help me?
No. You go ahead. Get in the trunk. I couldn't get her in there. She disappeared.
Oh, man, you just
you know,
that.
After we started talking about that lady on air, she disappeared from HEB. I mean, not the note. It had nothing to do with me.
Maybe she got promoted.
Sure,
or something.
She was strictly bagger material.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory!
Monday on the Horn, wet Monday. Obviously, if you're out in it, you know it. Be careful out there. Overnight storms rolled through, dropping lots of rain, thunder, lightning. So be safe as you're getting up and out. Hope you had a great Bud Light weekend. The weekend is brought to you by Bud Light. Hope it was a good one. We'll take the good, the bad, and the ugly. All things in between over the next couple of more hours. Got a lot to do. Major Applewhite, head coach of the Houston Cougars, will join this show coming up. We tried to get to Major last week because they were number 25 in our Horn Top 25 countdown, but couldn't schedule it. They have an off day today, so we're going to talk to Coach Major Applewhite, who used to be radio star Major Applewhite back in the day.
He started out in this deal.
And you've known Major a long, long time.
I have.
So we'll talk with Major coming up on his team, his quarterback battle, and taking over for Tom Herman down in Houston. Also, he'll hit the Horn Top 25 for today. It's number 20. It's K-State. Talk to Tim Fitzgerald. He's the writer and publisher for GoPowerCat.com, covering K-State for the Rivals Network. Also, Craig Way report this hour. Salacious Gossip, your blitz. Pretty good 8 o'clock hour as we get you rolling on the 7th of August. Can we get you the news, though? Ticket City update this time. Texas football continuing their training camp today. Tom Herman's team had their first full pad scrimmage of camp back on Saturday. It was good on good, according to Coach Herman. One versus one, two versus two, and it was pretty darn hot.
It was hot. I think at one point it was 109 heat index or something like that. And but this is about the time of day where we're going to kick off in 4 weeks. So it was good to get out there. About 55 plays for the ones and twos. So we've got a lot of reps.
One injury note, senior safety Jason Hall suffered a head injury. He's being evaluated 26 days to the start of the season. Season opener with Maryland. More from Craig Way coming up with his report this hour. In the NFL, Dallas Cowboys have made their way back to California after a busy weekend in Canton, Ohio. Dallas won the Hall of Fame game on Thursday, and then the whole team watched team owner Jerry Jones go into the Hall of Fame on Saturday night.
I leave you tonight with one last thank you. It's for you, the fans. I'm a fan. You're the heartbeat of the game. And the Dallas Cowboy fans are the greatest fans on earth. But I love Giant fans. I love Eagle fans. I love Redskin fans. I love Maslin High School fans here. I love Cart McKinley fans right here in town. You're here tonight because you love the game. Guys, I'm here because I love it too. Thank you, guys.
Dallas Cowboys, a couple more weeks of workouts in Oxnard. They'll face the LA Rams on Saturday night in their preseason game number two. Houston Texans play their first game of the preseason Wednesday night facing the Carolina Panthers. Jay Cutler has agreed to terms on a new contract with the Miami Dolphins. 1 year, $10 million, according to reports. He will now compete with Matt Moore for the starting job while Ryan Tannehill remains out with a left knee injury that could sideline him the entire season. Major League Baseball, home runs for Adrian Beltre and Joey Gallo, not enough. As the Rangers fall to the Twins yesterday, 6-5, they split that four-game series. Astros look like they're going to lose their third straight series, down 6-3 in the ninth inning. But they absolutely rallied. Jose Altuve, Yuli Gurriel, Marwin Gonzalez loaded the bases with singles. Carlos Beltran plated a run on a force out, made it 6-4. Then with two outs, Alex Bregman ripped a triple into the gap, cleared the bases, tied it at six. Then the rookie catcher, Juan Centeno, fresh up from AAA, played hero.
Line drive, base hit right field. The Astros walk it off. Juan Centeno wins the game after Alex Bregman ties it with a triple.
Great win for the Astros. They improved to 71-40. They're off tonight, as are the Rangers. Round Rock got a win last night. Two more home runs for the newly acquired Willie Calhoun, including a game winner, 5-4. They beat Albuquerque. Very sad note from baseball. Former Phillies And Marlins catcher Darren Dalton has lost his battle with brain cancer. After a four-year battle with that disease, he was just 55 years old. Hideki Matsuyama wins the WGC Bridgestone Invitational at Firestone with a final round 61 yesterday. Five-stroke win over Zach Johnson. And that's the news from the Ticket City Update desk. And, Buck, let's just shift gears. He's on the line. Let's go to the Bob Steak and Chop House hotline. Former Texas great player, now coach, head coach of the Houston Cougars, our friend Major Applewhite. Major, how you doing?
I'm doing great, E. How you doing?
Doing great. How are things? 1 week into camp. How are things going so far?
Going well. Had our first scrimmage Saturday. Had a kind of a situational helmet practice yesterday, and then today is their day off, so they're getting some time to kind of finish up the second session of summer school. We have like a Be a Pro Monday, which is like our Mondays during the season in terms of all the treatment that they'll get from cryotherapy, massage therapists, floating, massaging, cupping, needling, all the stuff that they didn't have when you and I were in high school playing football.
Major, I was noticing the fact when I look at all these different schools that are going into these early morning practices, the word treatment is on the schedule like five times. The importance of treatment, and as you say, we didn't have all these things back in the day then, but how important is it for your guys, these treatments? And I know how coaches are about, you better be at treatment, you better be on time, you better not be jacking around at treatment. Very important part of what's happening in the summertime.
Yeah, I mean, that's just taking care of your body and the way that, you know, camp, the fact that when you had two-a-days, you as a coach could manage how much you hit. You could say, we're going to go out in the morning with just helmets on, and then in the evening we're going to put full pads on. The NCAA said, no more two-a-days, so you have to spread your practices out more. And the NCAA said you have to give a mandatory day off every 7 days. So now your camp, instead of maybe being 3.5 weeks, is now 5 weeks. So it's a long time. It is a very long time. And so camp's stretched out longer, so treatment becomes more important. Not that there's more practice, it's just a longer duration of camp, and guys, you know, we have them in there constantly trying to take care of their bodies and make sure they stay hydrated, and especially down here with the humidity and the AM practices, hydration is of the utmost.
No question. Major Applewhite is with us. They're off day down in Houston after a week of camp, and interesting. Cupping, is that the one with, like, the suction cups? Is that what that one is?
Yes. Yes, it was the Michael Phelps dots that you see on his back.
Yeah. Amazing, all the technology that they use now. Major, this is our first visit since you were hired at Houston, so congratulations. I know, you know, when you left the pro football ranks, you know, being a head coach and having your own program, running your own program was a goal that you've achieved. Congratulations from us here in Austin.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, E.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's a big step. And talk about your vision for the program. I know you have one. I know you've always, you know, in your mind known where you want to take it. Building on what Coach Herman left you, you know, talk about the vision for the Houston Cougars program.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great university and a great city with great opportunities to win. And I think anybody who's lived in the state of Texas for, you know, a few years has realized that, you know, high school football is extremely important in this state. It's really, really, really good in the city of Houston. And if you've been on Houston's campus, you can see the things that Dr. Couture has done with our university and allowing it to be a better university, and the funding and the things that she's done administratively. And the city itself continues to grow and the job opportunities. So there's a lot of things around the football program. And that's our job as coaches to go in and capitalize on it. And that's the vision of being able to not only get kids in that want to play football close to home, but play for championships, get a degree, and then get into a job market that allows them real opportunity. There's a lot of great schools to go get a degree and play football at, but you've got to set yourself up for the real deal after that. And we have an opportunity as coaches and support staff to create life skills sessions, networks to really help these guys get an opportunity to get a job. So, you know, we're gonna obviously, as coach, focus on the first two things: get your degree and let's go win games. But when it's all said and done with, that's my vision. That's my vision for this program, is to kind of take that extra step that some programs maybe do take, but I want to take it even further in terms of helping create earning power for these guys beyond. And Houston's a wonderful city. When you've moved around, Bucky, and you know, in coaching, you move around, and not often do you get to move around to some nice cities that your families can thrive in, and this is a great place. And that's ultimately my goal, is to be able to keep my family steady in a town. I've got two children, so I'd like for them to have some sense of normalcy in terms of normal school experience and those type of things. But that's the long-term vision. But right now it's, you know, how are we going to practice this week after coming out of scrimmage number one? So that's where my mind is.
You know, Major, the University of Houston's been a stepping stone for a lot of coaches. When you say, you know, yourself and Julia, I'm pretty sure that, as you say, this is a time to build your family. Your kids are kids. I mean, they're little kids. You don't want to be picking them up and going. You've got a great job. You're at a great university. Like you said, you're in a wonderful city where the diversity there is fantastic for you and your family. This would be a hard one, you know. And everybody expects you to be very successful. In 2 or 3 years, when as you are getting successful, what happens when somebody else starts to call for you?
That's such a far-off deal. Fuck yes. It's, my brain does not go there. It's honestly, like, how is Tuesday's practice going to look? You get out there tomorrow. But if we play that game, then, you know, I'm no different than anybody else, but we've moved around a lot. I've moved 13 times in my life, seven times. And that's just as a person, seven as a coach. And, you know, I don't need to move anymore. I'm not really excited. I mean, every piece of furniture in our house has about 7 or 8 tags on it. It's been on an off moving truck. So,
oh, I understand that, Major. You know,
I'm kind of stubborn. I don't really want to go anywhere. You know, I feel like, you know, Grandpa. Like, I know I want to stay right here. You know, so I don't really think about that. But I just know who I am, and I know who my wife is, and what we want to do with our daughter and our son.
And it's a great city and a thriving city and a great place to be. It's a great message for the kids, too, to create earning power beyond that. Major Applewhite is with us. They were number 25 in our Horn Top 25 countdown last Monday. They come off a 9-4 season. Hey, Major, you've been around some great coaches. Obviously, you know, you came into Texas with a coach's mind and, you know, understanding the game at a really, really high level. And then as you've climbed, as you said, you've been around great coaches. Mack Brown here, of course, and Nick Saban, Tom Herman. Tell fans in Austin what Tom Herman is bringing to the Texas program that you can give them, and then I want to talk about your team. But what is Tom Herman bringing to Austin?
A lot of things. You know, a plan. You know, just a plan is very good. You know, there's certain a detailed plan. Great staff to execute it. You know, everybody sees pretty much the singular vision, and you know, people that enjoy working together. That's a very underrated thing in college football or any business, but they really enjoy each other on a personal level. So all of those things, just a clear vision, people that work hard, people that like each other, usually are very successful and contagious, and players buy into that. So I expect huge things. The expectations that are there will be exceeded this year, I promise you.
Let me ask you this, Major. When you talk about expectations and great players, you've got one down there in Ed Oliver, and I want to ask you about Ed, but I also want to ask you about those wide receivers that you had that I really focused in when you guys were playing last year. And every time I watched your wide receivers, although we're not talking 4-2 guys, we're talking about guys that know how to go get it. And a lot of college football teams don't have guys that know how to go get it. They're flashy in one way, but your guys will catch the slant, they'll catch the deep ball, they'll catch and run. They get very upset when they miss a ball. I noticed that last year, because you guys must get upset on the sideline. Those guys at wide receiver and the wonderful player that is Ed Oliver, and how contagious he must be for your team.
You know, Ed plays with an unreal motor, you know, an unreal motor, and that's the way we train our team to play. You know, but he came in with that already in him. You know, he just has to fit into the culture in terms of, you know, in terms of how we want him to affect the other people. You know, and he doesn't have to be a loud leader, you know, all the time, you know, just something here or there, you know, in terms of talking to his teammates. But his motor is something that the front seven sees, and, you know, he needs to continue to keep play at that level and practice at that level. We've got a very veteran group of wide receivers and that you saw last year. We have senior in Chance Allen, two juniors in Linnell Bonner and Stephen Dunbar. You know, two of those three are back. And then we got a fifth-year wide receiver from Arizona State, Ellis Jefferson, and it's just maturity. You know, it's you know, people forget that, you know, Colt. You know, yeah, Colt did a lot of great things. Colt was a great quarterback. I'm with you. I am totally with you. He also had a 26-year-old minor league baseball wide receiver and a 24-year-old senior, and Jordan Chipley. That helps, having older players, experienced players, that are not awe or in shock of any situation. And then they're fearless and they've been through some things, and that helps. And so having that level of experience is very important.
Certainly is familiarity, and you are familiar with this staff. Major Applewhite is with us. Major, when you talk about coaches who like each other and go to work together, as Coach Herman and this staff, when you went to build your staff, how important was that? That's one of the biggest marks of success of how you're going to grow that program. How challenging did you find that, to go out and find the right coaches to come in and fit your vision?
It is challenging because not all the time can you hire people that you have worked with. But on the offensive side of the ball, there were three guys that I've worked with, and there was one of the two that I'd not worked with, but had spent a lot of time in the off season and talked with and had conversations with and knew him on a personal level. And then half the defensive staff I had worked with, and then the strength and conditioning staff I'd worked with. So there were a few new guys, but I just wanted, it's like any other endeavor, is your heart in the right place? Are your motives pure in terms of what you're trying to do and what you want to do? Are you going to put your players first? Are you going to spend an inordinate amount of time with your players because that's what I'm require you to do? Do you fit the theme of what we want staff-wise? Are you a likable guy? Do you want to be around your staff? I'm not saying we've got to go every day after work and go get beers together, but are you one that wants to fit into the staff and be a part of the staff and likes the staff? That long, hard hours in college football. And very difficult times, and there's some adversity. You want to make sure that everybody's on the same page and team aspect.
Major, offensively, it must be rewarding for you to have Duke Catalan back again. He caught a lot of balls out of the backfield. You guys did some really special things to him as a running back. And do you expect to do the same type of things with Duke and have that kind of year for him again?
I do. I hope he stays healthier. We lost him for quite a stretch last year, but this spring. And Bucky, because you've coached backs, the way he ran in the spring, how hard he ran, there were several times where I just turned and looked at the running back coach and was like, what did y'all talk about today? What did y'all go, why is he has not run like this before? And usually spring ball, you have a position, if you're first team, and it's kind of known that that's your job.
Right.
Sometimes those guys kind of self-select and back out. My hip kind of hurts today. I'm good. He didn't miss a rep, didn't miss a practice, didn't miss anything this summer. And the way he's running the ball, he's running it harder than we've seen him run it. And so I'm pleased to watch him right now. The way he's practicing, that's what I told Ken Pope, our running back coach, was like, just don't fool with him. Don't talk to him. Just stay away from him. Just let him go. He's got this thing in his mind right now. So I'm just really pleased with him. And he's grown so much. He had his baby boy 3 days before we played Oklahoma last year. So he had his first child, his son. Then he had a series of concussions, missed 4 or 5 games. On Super Bowl Sunday, he lost a family member that was shot and killed. He lost another family member, at that point, a friend this spring. So he had a lot of stuff happen during the fall and early winter semester, and to see him kind of compartmentalize that and go through the mourning process, but it never affected his grades. It never affected his commitment to the team, what he did this summer and how hard he's worked and how hard he's practicing right now. I'm really proud of him. I've known him since he was a sophomore in high school, so I'm just really proud to see a guy who has overcome a lot in his life, at 20, 21, more so than maybe the three of us have. And so it's cool to see it happen.
That's great to hear.
No question. Duke Catalan will be a running back for Major Applewhite. People will say, Major, that Kyle Allen's going to be the quarterback, the transfer from Texas A&M, but you got to go earn the spot. Now, how's the quarterback position coming for you? Obviously, it's an important one.
Yeah, it's going well. They're all three competing. Kyle Postma, Kyle Allen, and De'Aaron King. All three of them had really good days on Saturday in our scrimmage. We'll get a lot more teamwork, because the installation process of it, you're installing your first and second, and the first 2 days are with helmets. So then 3 and 4, you actually can put some pads on. Day 5, we pretty much finished our basic install, and then day 6, we set the ball down and played. And then yesterday, we installed 2-minute drill. So we're off today. So now we'll come back through, and now it's that second layer of installation. But you should be in a lot more play it situations. Just put the ball down, defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, y'all call plays, and let's get more in a game situation. instead of kind of a controlled environment. So you'll see more of these guys have their management skills, their communication skills, play clock, first down, second down, third down, red zone, fourth down, you know, speeding the tempo up, going back and forth. You'll get a chance to feel those guys more and see them in more of that game environment. And that's what we need to see here before this next Saturday.
Major Applewhite giving us some time on their off day, and we appreciate it. Major, quickly, the schedule. I mean, last year you guys started with Oklahoma and came out of the gate terrific, really launched the season. This year, back-to-back road games, UTSA and then at Arizona for coming home for Rice and Texas Tech out of the Big 12 before you hit conference play. That's a rough September that I know you guys are gearing up for.
It is. It's a very misleading September. You know, when you have OU at the front of your schedule, everybody in the city of Houston is, you know, chin strap tightened all the way up, two mouthpieces in, you know, here we go, it's OU. And so we've talked to our team and UTSA and what Frank Wilson's done with that program and turned it around, got into a bowl game. It's got 16 to 22 starters back, 8 on offense and 8 on defense. So there's a lot of continuity. He's got quarterback, tailback, and wide receiver. They're all really good players, which you need on the offensive side of the ball. Experienced front seven, inside backers, safeties, a lot of guys that can communicate on the defensive side. So a lot of experience. And that game is that is a very good ball club. So we've got to be prepared for that when it comes time to actually start turning our focus from, you know, learning what we need to do as an offensive defense, but to our opponent. And then going on the road to Arizona and playing Coach Rodriguez and his guys, and they'll be a lot better this year. So we've got a tough task ahead of us. I mean, these first four, they may not be the marquee names like Mayfield and Lamar Jackson in terms of our out-of-conference schedule last year, but these are very quality opponents that we have to be prepared to apply.
Major, we appreciate it. We're rooting for you. Got you at number 25, but could have had you higher based on all the returning starters and everyone back at Oliver and the quarterback position. We're rooting for you from Austin, and hope you all the best.
Thanks, Major.
Thanks a lot, Eddie. Appreciate it, bud.
All right, Major Applewhite. There he is. 39 years old, but he's old in coaching years. He's
that
only
dude
39.
Has moved 13 times. Unless you got a military family, you can't even imagine loading up and going and loading up and 13 times, 7 times as a coach. I moved 3 times. I only moved twice.
Yeah, you were
in my coaching career. I was very fortunate.
You were. Well, I mean, you know, we've known Major a long, long time. Somebody down in Texas said, why would you ask him that about Texas? Like, we've known Major for 20 years at this point. So,
there's not a lot of things we can't ask
right.
him.
Tell
the truth.
You know, and Major, you know, he's going to root for Tom Herman. He and Tom and their families are still very close. And a lot of the, you know, coaches on this staff are close with Major. And there's going to be a rooting society both ways. I know Tom Herman's going to be rooting for Major Applewhite to continue the success of that program. And it was good to hear him say, you know, he's only 39. But he, as you said, 13 times. He was a GA here. He went to Syracuse, and he went to Rice, and he went to Alabama, then back to Texas, of course, for the stint with Mac Brown from 08 to 13, and then to Houston. I mean, he has he's bounced, and he's been a coaching. But as we've told the story before, you know, when you and I were young in radio, when Major finished up at Texas, he went off to a training camp with the New England Patriots, and, you know, was running second or 13. Tom Brady was in that camp, and he said, you know what? I could make a run at the NFL, but I'm probably always going to be kind of a backup type player.
Well, he's always wanted to coach anyway.
And he said, that's what he said. I've always just wanted to coach. So he left camp, came back, and he had to finish his degree at Texas before he could begin his coaching career. And he did a radio show over at our old radio station that fall. He did it with Kevin Dunn, of course, on our afternoon show. It was a terrific show, but, you know, Major had a singular focus to be a football coach.
Right.
And, you know, here he is at 39. It's taken a climb, but he is now the head coach of his own program. And you can hear it in his voice. He wants to use the city of Houston, establish some roots, build on what Kevin Sumlin and then Tom Herman, Tony Levine built there.
And he wants to stay. He doesn't want to pick his family up again.
Yeah. I mean, and the contract that he signed for 5 years pretty much locks him in for 5 years because it's an unprecedented coach's contract that comes with all kinds of buyouts and, you know, Tillman Fertitta and the president, Tillman Fertitta, of course, the big booster at U of H, and the president, they want a commitment from a coach, and that's one of the reasons Major was the choice, because he doesn't want this to be a stepping stone. He wants to coach that team and build that program. And so we root for Major, and best of luck to him. It's going to be a fun team to watch this
year. Yeah, so just Tillman Fertitta, it's not the Sofa King.
No, he's not the Sofa King. No.
Okay, all right, I just want to make sure.
Mattress Mac, Jim McInvale is the Sofa King.
Ah, he's the Sofa King, yes.
He's the Sofa King,
okay,
yes.
Okay, now I got it.
He sells sofas.
Yes, he does, and a lot of them.
Tillman Fertitta is the restaurant casino magnate. He Landry's.
But he doesn't sell any sofas.
No.
Okay.
No sofas. Casino. He's got the Kima Boardwalk.
Ooh.
He owns a casino in Vegas.
Vegas?
Yeah, down in old Vegas.
Craps table?
He's got craps tables. But, you know, he's the big booster there at U of H. But thanks to Major. We root for him, and we'll follow the Cougars. They open their season September 2. Much like Texas, they'll play at UT San Antonio against Coach Wilson there and the Roadrunners. All right, we'll come back. We will dive back into the Horn Top 25. Craig Way has the Craig Way Report, of course. Salacious Gossip and your Blitz before the end of the hour. It's B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Busy on a Monday, wet on a Monday. Be careful out there, taking the good, the bad, and the ugly for you from a busy weekend. We'll give you ours as well. Ugly included BK's performance, throwing out the first pitch at the Dell Diamond on Saturday night. We'll get you more details there. You can decide if it's good, bad, or ugly, how much Jerry Jones allegedly spent or reportedly spent on his Hall of Fame party Friday night in Canton, Ohio. We'll get you more of that coming up in Salacious Gossip, plus your chance to blitz, meaning your chance to sound off on this Monday. Before we get to Craig Way and the Craig Way Report, then dive into our Horn Top 25, Buck, thoughts and prayers to Austin native and former Major League Baseball star Don Baylor, who, according to our friend Kirk Bowles over at the Austin American Statesman, has reported has passed away this morning at 68 after a long struggle with multiple myeloma.
Oof.
But Don Baylor, who went to Austin High.
Tough dude,
Austin
man.
Austin High back in the day.
Tough ball player.
19 seasons in the big leagues.
He's a big, strong man, wasn't he?
He was. He was. Don Baylor has passed away this morning at the age of 68. He and Darren Dalton, as well, as we mentioned in the headlines, lost his battle with brain cancer at 55 overnight. So,
and I think that form of cancer that Don Baylor has is a brain cancer also.
Yeah, multiple myeloma is what it says, so... Thoughts and prayers there. All right, we'll hit the Hot Horn Top 25 coming up. But right now, Craig Way with this morning's Craig Way Report.
The second week of fall camp practices get underway today for the two area Division I FBS college football programs. Both the Texas Longhorns and the Texas State Bobcats have gone through their first workouts without pads, then with shoulder pads, then finally with pads, and then it was on to scrimmages. For the Longhorns, Saturday morning scrimmage at Denius Fields wasn't intended to be anything radically different than the work Tom Herman has had his team perform in the prior days, but he did see some things he liked. And as to specifics, there were some of those. For example, the progress of the installation of his offense and defense for the Horns. Where is that progress?
Pretty far in terms of our base offense and defense, and base meaning third down as well. We don't have a huge red zone package in yet, but we needed a little bit just so we could function in the scrimmage. And then, you know, don't have 2 minute. There's a few kind of special situations that we don't have in just yet, but, you know, probably over three quarters of what we're going to do is being run out there.
More work today for both Texas and Texas State, as it's back to the practice field for both teams, and we'll have more on the resumption of work this afternoon on our next report. I'm Craig Way.
Brought to you by Bud Light.
Certainly is. Hope it was a great Bud Light weekend for you. From the Craig Way Report, right into the Horn Top 25.
The Horn's Top 25 Countdown.
What a hurdle by Jackson! Highlight reel touchdown! Lamar Jackson does it again!
Inside the 10, Tyrone to the 5, swoops! There he is! Touchdown, Texas!
Watson takes a snap, rolls right, looks into the end zone. Hunter up the pocket! Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Number 20, Kansas State Wildcats.
That's right, Kansas State off a 9-4 campaign a year ago. And as Bucks mentioned throughout the morning, those four losses were to good teams. Stanford, Oklahoma, and everybody they lost to was in the top 25. A couple of those were close losses, and it's a team, Buck, that returns nine starters on offense, including Jesse Ertz, their quarterback, six on defense, but they've added some JUCO players there, as Bill Snyder does better than anybody. And they come in with high expectations, 19th in the coaches' poll, which is out last week, and 20th in our Horn Top 25.
Yeah, this is a team that's fantastic. I'm telling you, this is a well-coached football team that they'll find a way, losing some of these key players on defense, five on defense, and a team that only gave up 22 points a game last year in the Big 12. So they've got to find ways to this offense has to even be better than it was in keeping the ball away from opponents. But you know that special teams will be fantastic.
They play keep away better than anybody in the conference for sure and have forever with Coach Snyder. Let's go to the Bob Steak and Chop House hotline for some more insight into K-State. And one of their insiders, Tim Fitzgerald, the writer and publisher for GoPowerCat.com, covers K-State for the Rivals Network. Tim, good morning.
Good morning, boys. How are you guys doing?
Doing fantastic, great. Tim. Appreciate you doing it. And K-State. I mean, this is whenever I see K-State and Bill Snyder team with a quarterback back and that many offensive starters, I always trust Coach Snyder's ability to get the defense where it needs to be. This, I'm sure the optimism has to be pretty high in Manhattan.
Oh, it is. You know, usually when Coach Snyder has a quarterback back for a second year, it adds up to 9-plus wins and historically quite often 11 wins. It's really when he cashes in his team. And you mentioned those starters back on offense, and there's a lot of optimism about this offense. In fact, they lost a guard, but the two guards that they will use shared the other spot last year, so they both have starting experience. And even though they've technically lost a receiver and a running back, I think they upgraded at both positions dramatically better. So this offense has a lot of potential, but you guys mentioned it. They got some problems on defense, and the offense is going to have to be even more efficient and play that keep away brand of offense that Bill Snyder likes while scoring points. So a lot of pressures on the offense.
You know, Tim, I said that what does Jesse Ertz do? He does everything well. He really does. He's got an outstanding arm when it comes time to throw the ball. We know he can run the football. He can run this team. He's very deceptive in everything that he does. And if you take him for granted, he's the guy that really can beat you.
Yeah, the one thing he doesn't do well is stay healthy. You know, he was supposed to be the starter 2 years ago and injured his knee on the very first snap of the season for the offense. And then he injured his shoulder last year and played with a really bad shoulder throughout the 2016 season. And we saw what a little rest did for him heading into the Texas Bowl. He was really good against Texas A&M. Missed spring practice after having surgery, but all accounts now coming out of fall camp is he's just fantastic. He's throwing the ball a lot better than anyone saw him throw it last year. He turned into a really sneaky good runner. You look at him and you don't think he's going to be able to run the ball the way he does, but he's very smart with how he does things, and he can cut and come out of that cut at a pretty top speed immediately, and that's really impressive to watch. So he really does fit this offense well. He's a combination of a guy who can chuck it and also pick up yards on the ground as K-State's leading rusher a year ago.
K-State will be here in Austin October the 7th. Their schedule includes road trips to Vanderbilt, Kansas, Texas Tech, and Oklahoma State, but schedule favorable outside of those road games. We're talking to Tim Fitzgerald. He is the writer and publisher for GoPowerCat.com, covering K-State for the Rivals Network. Tim, Bill Snyder in his 28th year, ninth since he's come back. How is his health? I know that's been a concern and a question, and he's been very private about it. We saw him at Big 12 Media Days, and he looked great. How do you think Bill Snyder is feeling headed into his 28th year?
Much better than he was during spring football, I can tell you that. You know, he had some throat cancer. He had it treated and went through, the typical cycle of throat cancer treatment. He was not doing well for about 6 months, and really his energy was down during those chemotherapy sessions. But he's back up and going. He seems more like himself, although he's lost even more weight, so he's skinnier than ever. They're trying to get some weight on him, but his energy is doing much better. His voice is coming back. Just the normal cycle of this treatment, despite being a 78-year-old man, he's pretty remarkable on how he handles things, and I think he's going to be fine for the season.
Tim, on the offensive side at wide receiver, Byron Pringle, expectations of him and this other the other young guy that they have coming back to transfer from Cal, this is maybe a big-time offensive threat, both of these guys at wide receiver?
Yeah, they are really deep at wide receiver, but you mentioned Byron Pringle, and I think he's the guy that everyone's excited to see in season two of being at Kansas State after transferring from junior college. He got off to a slow start and kind of struggled to get acclimated to this offense, but he had a huge catch and run against TCU, and then another one in the bowl game against Texas A&M to conclude the season. And you could see his comfort level had grown, and Jesse Ertz's comfort level with him had grown. But they are very deep at receiver. They returned Dominic Keith, who also handles their punt returning duties. A sophomore, Isaiah Zuber, who has great potential to be a playmaker for Kansas State. And you mentioned Carlos Strickland, the transfer. They go really deep at receiver. They probably got six guys that they feel like they can put out on the field and be pretty darn good.
Offense is equipped. Defense has issues, and special teams always terrific for a Bill Snyder coach team. We're talking to Tim Fitzgerald, who covers the Kansas State Wildcats, number 20 in our Horn Top 25 countdown. I see where Oklahoma is the homecoming game. Last year it was Texas. That's interesting that a lot of times you programs will put a cream puff for their homecoming. It's Oklahoma.
And you've had Texas the last couple of years.
That's been a cream puff. But it's been now it's Oklahoma. Tim, what are your biggest concerns for this team? Sounds like you know defense is a concern for you. What else concerns you about this group?
Well, that defense, it starts there. They've got a couple positions. They lost all three linebackers, technically, if you ever deploy three linebackers in the Big 12. But I feel like they're good there. They've got some young guys that are coming up, and Trent Tanking, a former walk-on, has really grown into a leader on that defense, and everyone's raving about him. In fact, he was elected team captain by his teammates. That's how much he's blossomed. But it's really replacing Jordan Willis at defensive end. I mean, he was Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. And do you have enough guys at the edge to make plays, to force the offense to do some things it doesn't want to do? And then that other safety spot back there, Dante Barnett was a sixth-year senior. He had a couple injuries. He was a fifth-year senior, and he had an injury where they finally used his red shirt. And he was a quarterback at the back end of the defense. He got everyone lined up. He made sure that the secondary was in the right coverages. And then the Big 12, if there's any indecision on what you're doing on the back end, you're going to give up 7 points. So they're going to look to the junior college ranks, try to fill that spot. But will they be as smart and as well led on the back end as they have been in the past? And those are the real concerns. And, of course, Jesse Ertz's health. I'm anxious to see if he stays healthy, what kind of numbers he can put up, because he has great potential to be that true dual-threat quarterback that Kansas State loves to have.
It's a wide-open Big 12, and K-State will be in the thick of it. There's no doubt about that. Tim, we appreciate the visit this morning, and we'll check in again. A lot of football to talk this season.
Thank you, Tim.
Anytime, boys. You bet.
All right, Tim Fitzgerald. He is with GoPowerCat.com. That purple.
I don't know. I'm just singing the praises of Tom Herman's, and all of a sudden I'm listening to all of this, and I'm thinking, damn.
You worried about them?
What? K-State?
Come on.
What about the other Kansas team? That's the one you got to
hurt. Jayhawks.
Oh, I've got the wrong team. Is that what I should be worried about?
The whole state of Kansas and the whole state of Oklahoma.
This group, when they get, if they get into the fourth quarter in games, they are just so tough to beat. Bill Snyder's not like a physical guy. He doesn't come across as a physical kind of coach. But when that group takes the field, that's one of the most physical groups.
Another.
It is unbelievable.
Well, kind of like...
like Houston.
We talked to... yeah, he knows what he's looking for. So he knows what type of player he wants and what type of attitude they're going to need to have. It's total team football front to back. So K-State comes in at number 20 as we start our work week and your work week with the 20th ranked team. We'll hit number 19 tomorrow, obviously, and all the way to 16 by Friday. Stick with us at the bottom of each hour and throughout the day here on the Horn with the Horn Top 25. Coming back, hit your salacious gossip, load up your blitz on a rainy Monday. Be careful out there. 447-3776. It's B&E on the Horn.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
All right, load them up and bring it strong. 447-3776. Your blitz is coming. First, some salacious gossip. It's brought to you by Bud Light. Hope you had a... BK, did you have a Bud Light at the Dell Diamond? You should have had one before you threw the ball 54 feet.
Needed 20 of them afterwards.
So BK lost his bet, Buck. He had a bet with Trey Elling and then the ladies from Our Take, Saturday mornings at 11, that it was a double-pronged bet. He threw out the first pitch on Saturday, and the bet was he couldn't exceed 55 miles an hour and that he couldn't throw it that hard and throw somewhat a strike. Like, not a traditional strike zone strike, but the catcher couldn't lunge for the ball. And BK climbed up on the mound. He threw it a robust 63 miles an hour, which we'll give him some props for, but he threw it. I mean, it just came, like, right in the dirt. Just right in the dirt.
Sorry about that. I mean, quit doing bets. I mean, I started out doing that when I got in the radio. Stop it now.
I mean, it one hopped
for your
strike.
Yourself.
He didn't have to lunge after it hopped.
So somebody could have hit it.
Yeah, Vlad Guerrero would have golfed that out of here.
He was swinging anything, that dude.
That's right. Guerrero would have hit that ball. But so you lost that, and you also had to go down to the WNBA San Antonio Silver Spurs game, or Silver Stars,
mm-hmm.
on Friday night because you lost another bet. How was that?
Tons of short haircuts, huh?
A lot of short haircuts.
Oh, jeez.
Well, it's summertime.
No, it was
if you know what I mean.
Are you saying like Brenda Warner haircuts?
I mean, if you know what I mean. Yeah, it's summertime. It's
Kurt Warner's wife, who has the worst haircut in America.
That mohawk is awful.
Someone's telling her that that's a good look. Like, he's got a fashion person.
She's had it for a long time.
Like a rooster.
And they, don't they have like 18 kids or something like that?
Huh?
They have like 18 kids.
They got a bunch of kids. One of their kids should say, Mom.
Mom, stop it.
Your hair's not lit, as my daughter would say.
Yeah.
It's not lit.
Poor B-Case. Quit making bets. Stop it.
Yeah, I got to take a little hiatus.
You know where you should have been Friday night? Not at the basketball game. You should have been at Jerry Jones' Hall of Fame party that he threw for himself because he's going to the Hall of Fame or went to the Hall of Fame. Mike Fisher of 105.3 The Fan, who covers the Cowboys closely, reports that the total bill is $16 million.
That ain't true, Coach.
Every time I hear
that
it,
that ain't true!
I mean, I was thinking like $1 million for
a party.
That's
what I was thinking. At a place? Just at a place?
It was at a country club there.
I thought he paid a country club, you know, $100,000, and then...
Justin Timberlake played for 2 hours.
For 2 hours?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I mean, that'll cost you, but that's like, what, $500,000 to get GTA, maybe $1 million.
Boy, those are some great drinks. They had the top quality everything.
BK, you think they had some shrimp at Jerry Jones' party?
Oh, shrimp, caviar.
Oh, yeah.
Crab leg.
Chocolate fountain. Golden Corral chocolate fountain.
Oh,
you imagine that?
They had the chocolate waterfall.
Golden Corral in there. Someone wasn't at the party.
No, oh, Kevin, boy. Someone there?
All right. No.
$16 million. Jerry threw a bash.
Not two, not three, not four, no. Not five.
So there's your...
And why is Matt Rhule... running against the...
That wasn't Matt Rhule.
That was Matt Rhule.
No.
He's fat.
It's not Fat Rhule. No.
Fat?
It's no, not Fat Drool.
Matt Drool?
No, it was the associate athletic director for football who raced the robotic tackling dummy.
He looks like him.
He won, and then he got taken out by the tackling dummy in the end zone, and everybody laughed. And that was not Matt Rhule.
You sure that's not Matt Rhule?
It was tweeted from Matt Rhule's account.
Okay.
But it wasn't Matt Rhule, even though it kind of looks like Matt Rhule with about 40 pounds on him.
All right.
Or 50.
Look just like him to me.
Out of all the people who have been around that program who deserve to get knocked out by a tackling dummy, not that dude.
No, no kidding.
By a big black thing.
Yeah.
Hey, let's get to the Blitz.
It's a huge one.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Look appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
Rest in peace, Don Baylor. First Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, BK, the good news is Annie Savoy hasn't picked anyone for this year. The bad news, she's 71, no teeth.
Oh, no teeth? 71? I hope she's still got her teeth.
I don't know who that is.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
You think BK knew all would be stronger after toting all them heifers around the ballpark?
Well, now BK has to go on to 6th Street with the ladies from Our Take in an Oklahoma jersey.
Imagine those.
Are you going to be sporting the Baker Mayfield?
No, I think it's just a shirt or
BK,
something.
BK, your big old girls out there grazing out there in the field.
Yeah.
You know,
they got
grass.
In my head, man, the heifers.
BK, we could be worse to go out on 6th Street with three single ladies like that. I mean, it could be worse.
Yeah, but with them? Like, if I could just do the OU shirt. And not them. That'd be fine.
They're nice people.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
The LeBron reference to not two, not three, not four. Was that Mets base hits last night or championships that he was going to play?
One hit for the Mets.
One stinking hit.
That's a bad ball club, the Mets.
And you, Darvish, shut him down the night before.
Unbelievable. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, that outdoor commercial that y'all run on y'all's radio station, doesn't BK sound like the river?
The river?
Oh, shut it down!
Here's a text that says the ticket in Dallas and another radio station reported was $5 million for Justin Timberlake. $5
million? What? Oh, we got to talk to Bobby Epstein because he's coming to our town very soon. $5 million for 2 hours?
For a one-shot deal? Damn, it's good to be talented like that.
The guy can entertain.
It says Brenda Warner has the same haircut as Bryce Harper. It's true. It's true. She's got the Bryce Harper. You think she went to her stylist and said, give me the Bryce Harper? Good thing about Bryce Harper, he wears a hat.
Yeah.
And she always fling it back like he does.
And he's talented.
Well, she might be talented at some things, but it's just that's just not a good look.
That is not. That is not a good look. No, that is not acceptable.
$5 million?
For Timberlake?
What was the other $11 million on?
Shrimp.
I wonder if he sang Junk in a Box. I hope he did. You know they made him sing that, right?
He did sing some Elvis at the end because he went into some Elvis because he's from that area in Tennessee. And Jerry Jones and his wife love Elvis.
Would you demand him sing that for $5 million? Junk in a Box?
Blank in a Box?
Yeah, Blank in a Box.
Yeah.
Yes, I would.
For $5
million? Yes.
Better sing anything I ask him to sing.
Wow.
We'll come back. B&E on the horn. 9 o'clock hour. We roll on. Be careful out there. Turn around. Don't drown. Low water crossings. You know that. But we need to tell you. Be careful on 104.9 AM 1260. Stream it on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.